Chapter 10, Your Strategic Objective and General Operating Principles. I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. Jack Nicholson playing Frank Costello from the movie The Departed, Warner Brothers, 2006. To review, the system's insight arrived because I was under enormous mental and physical pressure. Until that late-night revelation, my strategy was to approach life with a bulldog, damn the torpedoes, pound the moles, I'm so damn clever persona. It was a toxic brew of arrogance and ignorance, perhaps the most noxious combination of negative human traits. The seething chaos had reared up and was about to crush me for good. Instead, with a flash of insight, it released me. I dropped the bulldog routine, adopted a new outside and slightly elevated perspective, and found new confidence. I knew exactly what moves to make and charged out of my self-imposed prison. To end workplace chaos, get things down on paper. First, put together the strategic objective. It will require a few hours to develop a draft and a few more hours over a couple of days to get it right. Creating it is pretty much a one-time event, but allow for minor future revisions as the environment changes. Limit it to one typewritten page. Next, after you write the strategic objective's first draft, you will begin work on the general operating principles, the contents of which will be accumulated bit by bit and then perfected over a few weeks' time. Still, the total time invested isn't much. Once completed, this document will remain relatively static over the years. Third, for your business or your job, you will create a collection of working procedures. A working procedure is in itself the archetypical system. Products of system improvement, each is an exact guideline for executing the process it describes. This third form of documentation will be addressed in detail in its own separate chapter. Over the long term, you and your staff will spend the majority of documentation time creating new working procedures and tweaking existing ones. Although the strategic objective and the general operating principles will get little mechanical adjustment later on, their fundamentals are key to the creation of your working procedures, or, in your personal life, in just navigating the day. In any case, at work, all three documents will remain front and center in your mind. For every unit of effort and time you expend on the three documents, the return in personal time and financial freedom will be at least 100-fold. I am not exaggerating. Creating the strategic objective. When I bought the ailing Girl Friday telephone answering service in 1984, my goal had been to make the company the best in the industry. That mission quickly evaporated as my staff of seven and I coped with serial fire killing. For 15 years, we thrashed. But in year 16, as we began to plow through the systemizing process and witnessed immediate quality improvement, our goal of being the best in the United States came out from its hiding place and took center stage. We would not just survive. Per verifiable statistics, we would become the best among the more than 2,000 competitors in our industry. The successful leader's job is to keep the wheels of the mechanism turning at full speed and with enormous efficiency. As I saw the business for the first time from my new outside vantage point, I questioned whether Centratel had objectives and a plan for reaching them. I dug in and laid out our goals and strategy in a pragmatic one-page written document. The strategic objective is the first and most important of the three documents we use to manage Centratel. It gives us direction and prevents us from flailing away in different directions. It is also the foundation for the general operating principles and working procedures documents, so it must come first. With the strategic objective at the forefront, no longer do we squander time and energy heading down roads that don't contribute to the overall objectives of the business. For Centratel, the ultimate purpose of the strategic objective is straightforward, as noted in the use of the present tense in the first line. We are the highest quality telephone answering service in the United States. All decisions, large and small, follow from that statement. Every ounce of energy is focused on the primary goal. The strategic objective is not a feel-good mission statement based on self-aggrandized hope. It's not something designed to make the board of directors feel good about themselves or intended to impress stockholders and staff. Instead, it's a concise blueprint in which we acknowledge the day-to-day real world in a mechanized, non-wishful thinking way. Without syrupy excess, It includes a brief narration of what the company does, where things are headed, and how management and staff will get there. The interesting thing is that most business owners already know what they have to do to succeed, but because they have hamstrung themselves with fire killing, they don't have time to even think about establishing goals or developing strategy. They don't know where to begin. If you can garner the self-discipline to create your strategic objective, you will find new strength as you hold a single sheet in your hand. You have direction. And once you have the potent, tangible representation of who you are, where you're going, and how you will get there, you will find it uncanny how the physical world will align itself with what you have written. When you get past the words in this book and take mechanical, physical steps in your real world, the first of which is the creation of the strategic objective, you will see for yourself. Should you create a separate written strategic objective for your life? Yes. Creating the general operating principles. After I completed the first draft of the strategic objective, I began creating the second critical document, the general operating principles. Congruent with the spirit and the specifics of the strategic objective, this became a collection of foundational guidelines for making decisions. In the end, it included 30 separate operating principles, so we called it simply 30 Principles. You will have your own set of guiding principles, and of course, they may number more or fewer than 30. Centratel's 30 Principles document is, of course, a system in itself. Note that it is a non-linear system, a set of parameters that are not sequentially related, but each of which must be considered across a wide spectrum of decision-making possibilities. The 30 principles are tried and true, sensible, and simple to understand and remember. They are not flashy. Most of the principles lie quietly underneath the things we do every day. They change very little with evolving circumstances. Over time, they have been tweaked, but their overall immutability is evidence of their soundness. Think of your general operating principles as the guidelines for decision-making for your business or your job. It's helpful to make up a set for your personal life, too. You will find your personal principles resemble the set you put together for your work because they reflect your character and your preferred way of approaching the workings of the world. Professional or personal, these principles will remain constant in all aspects of your life. For an illustration of how the principles can work, consider the following from Centratel's principle number 8. Just a few services implemented in superb fashion. 7 years ago, this tenant mandated that we stop selling cellular telephones as an add-on service. Because we could not depend on the quality of customer service provided by the cellular company for which we were a reseller, this decision gave us better control and ensured that all of our products are high quality. It also simplifies things. Had we not written down this principle in tangible form and then abided by it, we would still be selling cellular telephones at a considerable detriment to our overall operation. Without exception, the businesses that are large and successful are working their systems. And the ones without thoughtful direction and structured, sensible protocols, most small businesses, are struggling. Very simple. The general operating principles tenets, like the elements of the strategic objective, keep us moving in a focused direction whether there's a tendency toward non-action on the one hand or a momentary burst of impetuousness on the other. We are dogmatic about following our principles. As with a strategic objective, all individual and corporate decisions are focused on the 30 principles. Another example is principle number 30. We strive for a social climate that is serious and quiet, yet pleasant, serene, light, and friendly. Because of this principle, our office is like that. The principle is a hoop through which all decisions must pass. The live decorative plants, the special lighting, the physical layout of the office, the clear-cut policies and guidelines and the like make Centratel an attractive place to work. Don't expect your principles document to be finished in one sitting. Because it was sometimes 2 minutes here and 5 minutes there, it took me more than a month to create the rough list, select the proper wording, and polish it. Begin by writing down several principles you already have in mind. Then take notes as additional principles pop into your head. Be sure to seek others' input as you put your list together. Centratel's 30 principles are listed in Appendix C. Illustration: Why can't we find employees? It's our greatest challenge. Centretel's pay and benefits are very good, but no matter how aggressively we advertise our positions, we don't have many job applicants. Because we have a hard time finding qualified people, we are fortunate our current staff see little turnover. But the irony of simultaneous recruitment challenges and staff stability is understandable. If one digs a bit, it becomes clear why we have problems finding job applicants, and the good fortune of having high staff stability. It's our drug testing policy, as posted in the employee handbook. Before we instituted drug testing, we had plenty of job applicants, but there was also high staff turnover. A staff that uses drugs is flighty, and a flighty staff means call handling expertise achieved through long-term experience won't happen. Our brutal judgment is that only a limited number of service industry job candidates are drug-free. It's a painful, almost unbelievable conclusion, but we operate on that basis because the statistics bear it out. The choice seems to be, I'd rather smoke dope and earn minimum wage with no benefits at a menial job than not smoke dope at Centretel, where I could earn more than double minimum wage with full benefits. Ouch! Many business owners understand the truth of this, so they don't invoke drug testing. Of those who do, it's a gamble. I know of one local restaurant that had to close its doors after an impromptu drug screening of all its employees. They had to terminate employment for 9 of their 12 people. Another local business, a new, huge box store, selected 20 people for its automotive department. 16 of the 20 failed the drug testing. Did our decision to use drug screening stem from an outside and slightly elevated perspective? There is no question. Per our strategic objective, we looked down on our business and decided we required a stable workforce. We decided to trade the chaos of high staff turnover for the staid challenge of finding drug-free people who are steady, superb performers. To be sure, the introduction of a drug testing policy must be handled with care, supported by a well-thought-out written policy.